Danny's to his front and slung the little pack over his left arm. He had to be carrying 100 pounds. Ultra-lighting he wasn't, but it didn't matter. He could make it to Danny's apartment, recuperate, and make a plan. Colt lumbered toward the back door, adjusting the straps of the packs as he walked. At the broken door, he hoisted himself through the opening, crab-walking through the remnants of the glass. As he eased into the midday sun, movement caught his eye, a blur more than anything at the edge of the building. He dropped the day bag, eased Danny's off his chest, and crouched behind it. The M4 was strapped to his pack, lashed down with bungee cords. He would get it if he could. First, he pulled his handgun out of its holster and felt to ensure the hunting knife he'd picked up in the store sat secure against his ankle. He waited for 2 minutes, scanning his field of view for movement. Nothing. Maybe it had been a stray dog or a cat on the prowl, but Colt didn't think so. His hair on the back of his neck stood on end, and his heart thudded like it did just before a conflict. Someone was out there, waiting. As he saw it, there were two options. Retreat back into the store and wait the threat out, or go on the offensive. He'd already taken hours inside the store preparing. Danny could be on a truck halfway to Seattle by now, or she could be hurt, afraid. Colt unclipped the waist strap of his pack and slid it to the ground behind him. He pulled the M4 free and slung it over his shoulder where he could grab it in an instant. Colt wasn't a hiding sort of man. If someone out there wanted a fight, that's exactly what they would get. Chapter 19. Colt. Big Sky Sporting Goods, Eugene, Oregon, 11 a.m. Colt sidestepped down the three stairs, his back scraping against the stuccoed wall as he went. Although he couldn't see anyone, standing against the beige wall of a building dressed in all black made him jumpy as hell. He needed cover, and he needed it now. Too bad there wasn't a tree or bush line easily accessible. Urban warfare was the worst. Colt crept to the corner of the building, constantly scanning his sightline for any movement. As he paused, shoulder an inch from the edge, a sound made him freeze. Footsteps. They were soft, intended to be silent, but Colt still picked them up. If it had been later, he could have used the sun to his advantage, scoping out shadows on the ground, but it seemed nothing was on his side except skill. He took a few calming breaths and bent to the ground. The first two broken chunks of asphalt he found were too small, but the third had just the right heft and weight. With a strong hook, Colt tossed the rock well clear of the building. The footsteps stopped, shuffled. Voices. They were in the alley to the side of the building. Colt thought about what he'd seen. Two dumpsters, a side door, 30 feet to the main street. He needed more of a diversion. He rushed back to the landing and unzipped the main compartment of Danny's pack. The store didn't carry handguns, but it did sell flares, so he'd stocked her pack. Colt pulled out the bright red flare gun and loaded it. Sure, he could race back inside, try to fortify the door, find the stairwell that led to the roof, and attempt to cherry-pick off the assailants, but the likelihood of success was low. By then, they would be expecting him or already be inside the store. The only thing Colt had going for him was surprise and the balls to take a risk. He cocked the flare gun and held it in his left hand while he positioned the M4 in his right. A deep breath later, he was good to go. Easing the flare gun around the corner, Colt fired. The flare whooshed out of the chamber and Colt followed right behind. As he came out into the open, the flare lit up the street, blazing bright red as it sailed straight for two men in army fatigues. They shouted and ducked, jumping out of the way of the flare as it headed straight for them. Colt had a chance to take them out, but he hesitated. The army was after him? He began to lower the M4 when one of them spotted him and opened fire. The shots went wide, hitting the pavement a few feet to Colt's left. "Hey, I'm a friendly, don't shoot!" Colt began to raise the M4 above his head when the one on the right dropped to one knee. He was going to shoot Colt while he held the rifle in the air. Shit, they obviously weren't interested in a friendly chat. Was this about the man he'd disarmed earlier or the one he'd saved Danny from? He didn't know, and in that moment, couldn't care. No one was taking him out. Colt dropped to the ground and rolled as a 3-round burst landed in the spot he'd just been. He spun around to his chest and took aim. 3 rounds, straight shot right into the firing man's chest. One thing air marshals excelled at was hitting their targets. The soldier who'd shot at Colt didn't stand a chance. He crumpled to the ground. Colt swung the rifle in the direction of the other man. He'd ducked out of the way, hiding behind a dumpster while Colt fired, but he hadn't done a good enough job. Colt fell to the ground, sighted his target, and fired. The bullets pierced the soldier's leg, exposed in the strip of space between the dumpster bottom and the ground. 2 down, more to go. With a deep breath, Colt ran for the nearest dumpster. It was reckless, but so was lying on the ground with no cover. He couldn't retreat, not now. The metal side of the dumpster singed his skin as Colt slammed into it. The sun beat down on him from above, and although it was only March, Colt's shirt dripped in sweat. The contents of the dumpster reeked, the smell overpowering his senses as he sucked in much-needed air. One soldier lay where he fell, bleeding out onto the asphalt. The other moaned and groaned from behind the second dumpster. Colt hadn't killed him. How many more were there? He scanned the tops of the buildings. Empty. The rest of the alley, too. As he wiped at the sweat dripping into his eyes, an engine's rumble caught his ear. The wounded soldier called out, "Over here, man!" Colt could only handle so many at once. He eased back against the wall of the building, wedging tight between the brick and the dumpster. He caught sight of a pickup truck coasting up to the alley. It stopped on the street, side windows of the cabin just in view. Colt could make out the driver, but the rear doors were too tinted to see. The most it could hold was 5, maybe 6. He could handle 6. Putting all his strength into the effort, Colt shoved the dumpster. It rocked on its wheels but didn't move. He shoved again, and it rolled an inch. It was enough. He stuck the barrel of the M4 through the gap and took aim at the window. Plink, plink, plink. The first shot sent a hole through the rear window, the second broke it, and the third landed square in the chest of the passenger. He didn't stand a chance. The truck accelerated in an instant, charging into the alley like a bull in a china shop. It careened to a stop beside the wounded man. Colt took aim again. Firing into the windshield, he didn't stop until the entire thing shattered. When he stopped firing, everything fell silent. Had he done it? Were they dead? A volley of shots peppered the dumpster in response, and Colt wedged tighter against the brick wall. He hit his feet behind the wheels, but it wasn't perfect. A good shot, and he'd go down. He needed to stop them. For all he knew, guys were running away that very second, trying to get back to the unit. If they made it, a full-on manhunt would ensue. He'd be worse off than Harrison Ford in The Fugitive. If he didn't neutralize the threat, he would never fulfill his promise to keep Danny safe. The more he thought about that girl, the more he couldn't leave her. He pulled the flare gun out of a pocket on his pants and loaded another flare. They didn't have the best accuracy, but he had to try. With a steady grip, he fired at the now gaping windshield. The flare arced in the air, cruising toward the truck in slow motion. As someone shouted, the flare cruised through the opening and landed inside the vehicle. Within a minute, a fire bloomed inside the truck, flames spreading higher and higher across the fabric seats. More shouts erupted. In the chaos, Colt had his chance. He rushed forward, slinging the M4 behind him in favor of his SIG. While someone inside the truck batted at the flames, Colt advanced. 20 feet, then 15, then 10. He raced around the side of the dumpster to the wounded man. He lay on the ground, legs sprawled out in front of him, eyes vacant. In the scuffle, he'd bled out. Colt turned toward the truck, ducking to keep below the front grill. Chaos raged inside, flames licking the roof. The door on the other side flew open, and a hacking, coughing soldier tumbled out. The only one left. Colt closed the distance in seconds and kicked the man in the ribs. He fell to his knees, and Colt kicked him again. Clutching his stomach, the soldier rolled over. Colt pointed the SIG right in his face. "Tell me why." Coughing, the soldier shook his head. Colt leaned closer. Tell me why, or I shoot you in the head. The soldier doubled over, retching onto the ground. Colt took aim, but the man held up a hand and tried to speak.
We...
He erupted into another fit of hacking, and Colt leaned closer. He never saw the knife coming. The blade sliced through his pants and straight into his quadriceps, driving deep into the muscle. Colt reacted on instinct, and the soldier collapsed on the ground, a single bullet in his head. Damn it. As the soldier's hand slipped off the knife hilt, Colt staggered back. He surveyed the scene, pain blurring his vision. Bodies everywhere, truck burning, the smell of melting plastic and warping metal assaulted his nostrils, and Colt spun around. He limped to the body of the soldier beside the dumpster. He leaned over the man and pulled up his shirt. Grunting against the pain, Colt unbuckled the rigger's belt and tugged it loose from the dead man's utility pants. The body flopped as he tugged, arms flailing about like a puppet on strings. Sweat dripped off Colt's nose and his vision dimmed. He needed a damn tourniquet. At last, the belt gave way, and he stumbled to the dumpster. Wrapping the belt around his thigh, a few inches above the knife that still stuck out of his leg, Colt cinched it so tight he cried out. Only then did he remove the knife. He leaned against the dumpster, fighting to stay conscious. As the moment of vertigo passed, he hobbled over to the other man on the ground and ripped off his belt as well. After making it back to the packs, Colt ripped into his and dug out the first aid kit and a bandana. With his teeth locked together, he tore his pants wide enough to inspect the wound. A 2-inch-long gash, deep and still bleeding. He poured antiseptic on it and followed with gauze and the bandana. Only then did he apply the second belt, cinching it directly over the wound. It wouldn't seal it shut, but the double tourniquet would keep him from bleeding out before he got it closed. As he zipped up his backpack, a huge boom erupted from the alley. A fireball rose in the air, followed by billowing smoke. The truck had exploded. It was time to go. Colt eased his backpack onto his shoulders and grabbed the day pack as well. Danny's would have to stay behind. Putting as little pressure as feasible on his wounded leg, Colt stopped at each soldier, relieving the dead bodies of their weapons, radios, and ammo. He tossed all but one radio inside the burning truck and walked away. A single man stood outside what used to be a bookstore staring at him. From the pallor of his cheeks and the way his clothes hung his frame, the man looked like he hadn't eaten in days. He didn't say a word. Colt gave him a nod and kept walking, the limp barely noticeable in comparison to the backpacks and rifles strung over his body. He looked like a ridiculous actor in an action hero movie, alive to fight another day. It wasn't that far from the truth. He'd get somewhere safe, patch up his leg, and set off. The military wanted to find him, he'd make it easy. Colt would just go to them.
Chapter 20 Danny. University of Oregon Campus, Eugene, Oregon, 1 p.m. Danny shoved the beef stew around the little tray. She'd already eaten the bread, jam, and chalky stuff the package claimed was peanut butter. Now the main dish sat in front of her, congealing while she watched. She should be thankful. The military picked her up and gave her a place to sleep and food to eat, and never once asked if she'd broken some soldier's kneecap or watched Colt shoot 3 thugs who wanted to have a little fun. Leaving Colt had been the right decision. He wanted to hit the road. She'd known that from the first moment they met. The words couldn't have been more plain. I'm not a family man. I don't want to be a surrogate dad. No matter how many times she caught him smiling at her or seeming proud, Colt didn't want her in his life. Everything he did was to set her up to survive on her own. The supplies, apartment, self-defense skills. He didn't plan on sticking around. Her mom showing up only sped up the process. Danny glanced up at the entrance to the cafeteria. After dropping Danny off in her own room last night, her mother disappeared with Gran down the hall, and Danny hadn't seen her since. She didn't know where Gran was, and she couldn't risk going to find her. What if that soldier she hurt was in the hospital? What if he recognized her and sent her to whatever worked as jail in this place? Juvie might have been a blessing in disguise when her mom fell off the wagon, but right now it could be a death sentence. Danny didn't trust anyone around her to keep their word, not after that soldier tried to haul her away. A woman sat down across from her and groaned as she looked at her plate. "Beef stew again? Who can eat this slop?" She rolled her eyes and picked up the package of bread. Her red curls bounced around her face as she tore the package open with her teeth. Danny couldn't help but stare. She was beautiful. "Got a problem, kid?" Danny ducked her head. "No." At last, the redhead got the package open, and she let out a little whoop. After chomping down on the bread, she eased back in her chair. "Sorry I snapped at you. I get a bit hangry in the afternoon." "It's okay." The woman held out her hand. "I'm Heather." Danny wiped her hand on her napkin and gave Heather's a quick shake.
"Danny."
"Nice to meet you, Danny. Are you in college here?" Danny shook her head.
"Not old enough. I'm just a local."
Heather cocked her head.
"Really? I didn't think they were letting any locals in here."
She tore open the package of jam and slathered the contents on the rest of her bread.
"You some politician's kid or something?"
"Nope." Danny pushed her beef stew around again.
"What are they doing here?"
Heather shook her head. "Beats me. All I know is they asked all the college kids who had families they could reach to leave first thing. We showed up after our plane emergency landed just outside of town. So far, they've let us stay, but I don't know any more than that." Danny forked a bite of beef and popped it in her mouth. Colt said he arrived on a plane, too. Were they on the same flight?
"An emergency landing sounds scary."
Heather leaned in, her eyes bright and full of excitement. "It was. I've been a flight attendant for 5 years, but I've never done anything like that. Our pilot, Captain Sloan, he was amazing. Everyone clapped when we landed." Danny wished she could ask outright about Colt, but she didn't want to get him in trouble.
"How did you all make it to Eugene? There's not a whole lot outside of town. You must have been in the mountains."
Heather nodded.
"We were, but we had an air marshal on our flight, and he walked into town, tracked down the National Guard, and they sent up some buses for us. We were here within 24 hours after the power grid failed."
An air marshal? That had to be Colt. Danny wanted to learn everything about him, what he did, where he'd been. There was so little she knew. In some ways it was pointless, but the more she knew, maybe the easier it would be to hold on to his memory.
"What's an air marshal?"
Heather snorted.
"A big, fat jerk, that's what."
Danny raised her eyebrows.
"You really want to know?"
Danny nodded. Heather forked a bite of carrot and pointed it at Danny as she spoke.
"They're arrogant, conceited, selfish bastards, but they're really good in bed."
She put the carrot in her mouth and chewed, while Danny stared like she'd just seen her grandmother dancing.
"Oh, sorry, kid. You probably didn't need to know that last part."
"It's okay." Danny tried to play it off.
"I don't mind."
"He was a real jerk, huh?"
"The worst." Heather shook her head. "Came on to me on the plane and sweet-talked me nonstop when we got back here. 2 weeks go by. I think he's really into me, you know, and then, bam, he gets up one day and says he's leaving, that he's not a relationship man, whatever that means."
Heather flipped her hair behind her shoulder and stabbed another bite of food.
"I swear if I ever see Colt Potter again, I'll have him arrested for fraud."
Danny swallowed.
"I don't think you can do that." "Then I'll lie. The jerk deserves it."
She couldn't believe it. Colt had been in a relationship with a woman as beautiful as Heather, and he just got up one day and walked away? It didn't make any sense. When he said he didn't do relationships, he really meant it.
Heather probably hadn't been rejected very often. She seemed like a difficult woman to handle. Danny tried to smile. What are you going to do now?
Wait until they finally let me go home, I guess. I've got a sister in Sacramento. I need to get back there. But every time I bring it up, I just get the brush off. It's like all these macho guys around here are in the middle of some big thing, but they won't tell any of us civilians what's going on.
Danny chewed on her lip. It's exactly what Colt had said earlier. The military was up to something, but he couldn't figure it out.
Do you think they're getting ready to leave?
If they did, what would happen to Gran?
I have no idea, sweetheart, but if they do, one of those guys is taking me with them.
Heather looked down at her tray and snorted in disgust.
I'm throwing this slop in the garbage and finding a vending machine. Wanna come?
Danny shook her head.
No, thanks.
Suit yourself. Nice meeting you, kid. Heather stood up and dumped her tray in the trash before heading out the double doors. Danny leaned back in her chair and looked around. Apart from a couple three tables over, an older woman by herself, and a man who looked like a professor, she was alone. She thought about all the things Heather had told her, how Colt had walked out with no notice, how the military was keeping everyone in the dark and not letting any townies into the campus. She had woken up that morning depressed over saying goodbye to Colt, but now she knew it was the right decision. The last thing she wanted was to wake up one day and have him be gone. After shoveling a few more bites in her mouth, Danny stood up and threw her trash away. The Army had figured out how to get power to critical equipment, and they'd rigged up portable showers down the hall. Just the thought of water pouring over her head was incredible. She reached back and felt beneath her ponytail to the wound on her scalp. It still hurt, but a shower would probably be okay. She walked down the hall to her room and pulled open the door. Everything was as she left it. A twin bed, nightstand, and a single window to let in the light. She hadn't brought any of her things and she wasn't planning on it. Although she could tell her mom about the apartment and the supplies Colt helped her gather, she wanted to keep that part of her life to herself. The little she'd seen of her mother had been positive, but Danny still didn't know if she could trust her. Was she really sober? Had the military helped her like she claimed? Or was she just putting on a good act? Danny didn't know, but she hoped it was the former. Maybe the EMP shocked her mother into cleaning up for good. She kept the positive thoughts in her mind as she headed to the shower. Halfway there, she froze. Her mother stood at the end of the hall, chatting with a soldier on crutches. Danny couldn't tell from her vantage point, but the hair and the shape of his head reminded her of the man who caught her on the street, the one who wanted to drag her back here and throw her in jail. It can't be. If her mother was talking to him, was this all a setup? Did her mother plan on selling her out? Danny took a step back and collided with a warm body. She spun around in a panic.
I'm sorry. Are you okay?
The soldier nodded. I'm fine. Sorry to have startled you.
It's okay. Danielle, wait right there. Her mother's voice echoed down the hall, and Danny glanced behind her. The soldier on crutches was hopping her way.
Crap. She spun back around.
I've got to go. Sorry again.
Danny, wait! Her mother's voice grew frantic.
Sir, stop that girl, please!
Danny lunged around the soldier, but he reached out and grabbed her arm.
Let go of me!
I'm afraid I can't do that.
Her mother jogged up, winded and out of breath, with her mouth sagging open for air. Danny could see all her rotting teeth. Even if her mom cleaned up on the outside, the drugs had taken a toll. No shower and new clothes could repair. She clenched her side as she spoke.
It's about time I found you. There's someone here you need to meet.
Chapter 21. Danny. University of Oregon Campus. Eugene, Oregon, 2 p.m. Danny tugged on her arm, but the soldier to her right still held on, his grip tight enough to bruise. Let me go!
Is she your daughter?
Danny's mom nodded. Yes, sir. I can take her from here. Thank you. She reached out and grabbed a hold of Danny's arm even harder than the soldier, her nails digging into Danny's skin through her sleeve. Mom, you're hurting me! Danny practically shouted in her mother's face, hoping someone would intervene. No one paid them any mind. Her mother eased closer, voice barely above a harsh whisper. It's not nice to run away from your mother when she's speaking to you. Danny bit her cheek to keep from lashing out again. No one there would help her. She would need to wait for an opening and exploit it, just like Colt had said. The soldier on crutches hobbled down the hall. At 10 feet away, Danny confirmed it was the same one who caught her in the store, the guy she kicked and who lost his rifle to Colt. Despite the smile on his face, he would never be her friend. He would never be on her side. She probably ended his career. I'm not going anywhere with that guy. Her mother dug her nails in harder. They had to be drawing blood. You don't have a choice. Danny sucked in a breath as the soldier stopped in front of her.
Is there a problem?
No, Danny's just anxious to talk to you. Isn't that right, dear? She pretended her lips were sewn shut and scowled instead. Her mother made an excuse. Typical teenager, you know how crabby they can be without enough sleep. The soldier eyed her up and down.
Take her down the hall. Follow the signs to the auditorium, room 105.
Danny swallowed. That wasn't anywhere near her room. The hair on the back of her neck rose. What was her mother planning? Did she even know what this man wanted to do with her? She focused on the woman who never did a nice thing without a motive. A shower and some makeup and decent clothes covered up the ugliness, but it still lurked beneath the surface. From the way she gripped her arm, to the fake sweetness on her tongue as she talked to the soldier, Danny saw it all. Her mother hadn't changed. When she'd first seen her the night before, she'd let herself hope. She'd foolishly gone along with her because, deep down somewhere, Danny was still a little girl who wanted a mom who cared. A mom who loved her. How long will it take? Her mother's words echoed in her head.
The soldier sneered. Depends on how cooperative she wants to be. I'll meet you there.
He turned on his crutches and hopped back the way he'd come, his blocky head bobbing up and down with every sweep of his injured leg. Come on, you heard him. Let's go. Her mother tried to pull her along, but Danny resisted. She leaned back, balancing on her heels as her mother yanked her arm. What's in room 105?
It's nothing. Just move.
No. Her mother puffed out of breath. Can't you for once not be a spoiled little brat? I need you to do this for me. Spoiled? Her mother had the nerve to call her spoiled? She tugged her arm again and pulled her mother off balance. Her mother cursed and glanced around the hall. Whatever she saw seemed to satisfy her, and she used all her feeble strength to drag Danny a handful of steps. She couldn't let her mother take her to room 105 and whatever that soldier had planned. As her mother took another step, Danny reared back, tugging against her mother with all her might. Her mother stumbled, and her grip on Danny's arm loosened. The second her mother released her, Danny spun away. Her footsteps pounded on the linoleum floor, echoing against the walls. Danielle! No stopping, no looking back. She would get away from that woman and whatever horrible plan she'd concocted. No one was going to trap her in some room she couldn't escape. Danny neared the end of the hall and slowed to round the corner. She didn't see the rifle until too late.
The stock slammed into her shoulder, and Danny flew back, arms and legs circling in the air like a cartoon character. She hit the ground hard on her butt and kept going, falling back until her head slammed onto the floor. All the air rushed from her lungs. She gasped like a beached fish. Hands wrapped around her arms and hauled her upright while the room spun. Her vision dimmed, telescoping into a tunnel ringed in black. A humming eclipsed all sound in her ears, and Danny fought the urge to vomit. Cold metal slapped her wrists, and Danny tried to speak.
What?
Shut up before I knock you out. She didn't have to be told twice. Danny couldn't stay conscious, even if she wanted to. The ground loomed, her vision failed, and Danny passed out.
Do it again.
Cold water drenched Danny from above, soaking her hair and running in rivulets down her face. She blinked and tried to lift her hand to wipe it away. Her arm wouldn't budge.
She's coming around. It's about damn time.
Danny opened her mouth, and water droplets landed on her tongue. She smacked and tried to speak.
What's wrong?
Oh, how cute. She's talking.
The voice turned cruel.
Smack her. That should wake her up.
A flat, hot palm landed hard on her cheek, and Danny's head careened to the right. She blinked again, and the world came into focus. She sat in a chair in the middle of a room. A soaked blanket spread out beneath her. Zip ties secured her hands to the back of the chair, and an empty bucket sat on the floor beside her feet.
Where's the man who rescued you?
Danny snapped her head up, and the quick movement roiled her gut. She fought back the bile rising in her throat. An army soldier stood in front of her, older than the others she'd seen before. His uniform looked pressed and clean, and he'd shaved within the past day. His blue eyes honed in on her face, and he asked his question again.
Where's the man who took you from Sergeant McAllister?
Who's that?
Her voice sounded thick and foreign.
That would be me, the guy you stomped on, remember?
Sergeant McAllister's face loomed too close, his big head eclipsing all but the overhead lights from her field of view. She smacked her lips and tried to remember how to talk.
How's the leg?
He snorted and backed up, throwing his arm out as he pointed.
You see? She's nothing but a punk. I told you we won't get anything out of her.
Patience is a virtue, Sergeant.
The blue-eyed man never stopped staring at her. His gaze made Danny squirm. She looked away.
I don't know what you were talking about.
Yes, you do.
He took a step closer.
Colt Potter, where is he?
How should I know?
You were with him last night.
Danny twisted around, looking for her mother. Had she told them about Colt? Did they want him for the assaults on Sergeant McAllister? Did they know about the murders? When she didn't see her, she sagged against the chair. No way would she rat him out.
The guy's gone. The second you all picked me up, he left. I think he said he's headed to California.
Lies came easily. She'd learned from the best.
No, the senior soldier shook his head. He's still here.
She shrugged, but her shoulders barely moved, thanks to the restraints.
Sorry.
You aren't yet, but you will be.
Danny's eyes narrowed. What was so important about Colt?
What do you want him for? It's not like he's an AWOL soldier or something.
He's wanted for questioning.
About what?
That's classified.
Danny rolled her eyes. If they weren't going to tell her what this whole interrogation was about, she wasn't going to give them any information.
I don't know where he's at.
Can you get in touch with him?
I don't know how.
Think.
The man wasn't giving her an inch. Ordinarily, Danny faced these sorts of questions from nosy teachers or the occasional social worker. Enough teenage bravado, and they gave up. It wasn't that she didn't want the help, but she knew what would happen.
foster care, bouncing around from home to home with people who didn't really want her. Just the paycheck the state gave them. No thanks. She'd rather be with her mom. At least she knew what she was going to get with her. Danny glanced around again, twisting until the zip ties pinched her wrists. Where's my mom?
She's busy.
Doing what? Snorting crystal?
Visiting your grandmother.
Danny's face fell. In the commotion of the morning, she'd forgotten about Gran. Where is she? Can I see her?
I'm afraid your grandmother isn't well.
Danny pulled against the zip ties.
What do you mean? She has advanced stage 4 liver cancer.
The words hit Danny like a sucker punch. She leaned back against the seat. The soldier smiled, his eyes twinkling like a bright summer day.
Didn't you know?
She was in remission. He tilted his head and gave her a small, pitying smile.
It came back.
The soldier lifted his hand and examined his fingernails like they held the secret to life.
The doctors here found tumors in not just her liver, but her lungs, too. Once it's gotten that bad.
He smiled as he lifted his head.
I'm afraid it's just a waiting game, really.
Danny swallowed. I want to see her.
Not until you tell us where to find Colt.
She shook her head. No, you let me see my grandmother, and then I'll tell you whatever you want to know. He glanced at his watch.
I suppose a few minutes with her won't hurt, assuming she's still breathing.
Danny blinked back the beginning of tears. Seeing Gran eclipsed everything else. If she could just talk to her. Danny glanced back up at the man in charge. He'd stepped away to speak to another soldier. If he was lying, she would never tell him anything. But if he told the truth, Danny didn't know what she would do. Chapter 22. Danny. University of Oregon Hospital, Eugene, Oregon, 3:30 p.m. The halls of the hospital were way too quiet. Places like these were usually filled with whirring machines and constant beeping in 100 different tones. Not now. Apart from a few LED lanterns set up here and there, the whole hospital was dark and eerie. Danny walked along the corridor, an army guy beside her. The rifle didn't scare her, maybe it should have, but after seeing Colt disarm the other man, it didn't hold the same mystique. She glanced at his profile. Short hair, clean shaven. She guessed about 25, but she'd never been good at age. Everyone much older than her was just an adult until they hit the elderly stage. Like Gran. She tried to get some information out of him. Why is it so quiet? I thought you all had wind turbines running this place. The soldier made some sort of noise in response. Was that a grunt? Is there something wrong with the power source? I thought it was better than coal. That's what they said in school. He didn't even blink. After a few more failed attempts, Danny rolled her eyes and kept walking. They stopped outside a room with light filtering underneath the door. Is this it? He waved her forward and Danny swallowed. I can do this. She pushed the door open and stepped into the room. A single lantern sat beside a hospital bed. The frail old woman lying against the pillows almost disappeared into the white sheets. Her skin had grown ashen, her lips pale and lifeless. Was she already gone? Danny rushed up to the bed and picked up her grandmother's hand. Warm, but barely. Gran's eyelids flickered. When did she get so sick?
Danielle, you're all right.
Danny pressed her lips together. Gran looked so weak and small.
Why didn't you tell me?
Gran's lips worked into a half smile.
Didn't want to worry you.
I could have helped, done something.
You have a cure for cancer?
Danny dropped her gaze. I could have made you more comfortable.
Gran squeezed her hand. The gesture was feeble, but it meant so much.
I love you, Danielle. I'm sorry I haven't always been there for you.
Gran, stop it! You're here now.
Her grandmother swallowed and closed her eyes.
Not for long.
What?
Danny leaned closer.
Gran, no!
Clutching her grandmother's hands, Danny leaned closer. Her grandmother fixed her eyes on Danny, fierce and bright beneath her wrinkled brow.
Be careful, Danny.
Danny blinked. What?
Her grandmother's voice dipped lower, turning almost guttural as she ground the words out.
Your mother can't be trusted. Neither can these men. Find Colt. You can trust him.
She exhaled, and a calmness came over her.
He's a good man, Danielle, like my Ricky.
Danny opened her mouth to ask what Gran meant, but the old woman collapsed back onto the bed, her breathing labored and shallow. Spinning around, Danny found the soldier standing beside the door, more guard than anything.
There's something wrong. Call a doctor.
The soldier didn't move.
Didn't you hear me? She's sick. She can barely breathe. Call a doctor.
He cast a lazy glance in her direction.
There's no doctor available.
That's ridiculous. The army transferred her here so she would have better care. There has to be a doctor.
The soldier exhaled and finally looked her way.
No doctor can help her. The only people who get sent to this part of the hospital are ones who don't make it out. The higher-ups don't want to waste the power on them.
Danny's eyes widened as she stared at him. The whole thing had been a lie? They weren't going to help Gran get better.
Danny spun back around to face the only woman who mattered in her life.
She looked so peaceful on the bed. Eyes closed. Lips curved in a slight smile.
Danny leaned forward.
Gran? Gran, are you all right?
When her grandmother's eyes didn't flutter, and her lips didn't move, Danny leaned closer, practically crawling on top of the bed to feel her grandmother's breath. There wasn't any.
No. No way. This isn't happening.
Danny grabbed her grandmother by the shoulders and shook. Gently at first, then harder and harder until the old woman's head wobbled around like a bobblehead on a runaway car's dash.
No, Gran, no! I need you!
A cry tore from Danny's lips, rising up her throat like a freight train full of grief and sadness.
Gran couldn't leave. She couldn't leave her all alone with no one but her mother.
She shook her again, messing up her grandmother's hair, tossing her lifeless hands about the bed. But it was no use. Gran was gone. Danny choked out a sob and took hold of the roll bars on the bed to clamber over the side. She made room for herself next to Gran. Her body was still warm. Danny snuggled in so close. Her tears ran over her cheeks and onto the sheets, soaking them as she held on to Gran's arm. Danny cried and cried until there weren't any tears left in her body. She didn't know why the soldier left her there, clutching at her grandmother like she could will her back to life. But Danny didn't care. She wouldn't leave until someone dragged her away. Danny could pretend they were sleeping like they used to do on the couch in the living room after her mother had gone away. All those nights when Danny never slept because she couldn't trust the night. The night was when the monsters came. When her mother's boyfriend showed up and pumped her full of drugs and chased Danny around the house. Danny closed her eyes. She would take a little nap and they would both wake up. It was all just a nightmare.
Memories of being very small and curling up just like she did now filled her mind. Little snapshots of a time before she understood life. The smaller she curled up, the harder she was to find. Danny closed her eyes tight, squeezing until colors danced across the blackness. If she lay very still, the monsters couldn't find her. Small and quiet, like a little mouse. She could ignore the rumble in her belly, the thirst down the back of her throat, the things that crawled across her legs in the dark. Hide, Danny. Hide. She twisted even tighter, knees bumping her chest, arms wrapped like wires around her shins. Don't cry. Don't even breathe. Danny! Her mother couldn't find her. Danny! She wouldn't find her. Not today. Danny! Hands gripped her shoulders and hauled her up. Danny lashed out, screaming and punching. They wouldn't take her. They wouldn't. She's dead, Danielle. Danny blinked her swollen eyes open. She wasn't a little girl anymore, hiding in the back of her closet. She was 15, and the only woman who ever loved her was gone. A soldier dragged her off the bed and tossed her into a vacant chair. She pushed her matted hair off her face and watched in horror as the man unceremoniously kicked off the brake on Gran's bed and wheeled her lifeless body out the door. Only then did she notice her mother. She sat in a chair across the room, looking every bit as phony as a $3 bill. The clothes and the shower and the self-righteousness didn't hide a thing. Danny scrubbed at her tear-stained cheeks. How could you do this? Her mother glanced at the empty doorway and shrugged. I needed you. Danny started. What did you say? The soldiers wanted you. That didn't make any sense. Danny didn't have anything they could want. She was just a kid. Why would they want anything to do with me? Her mother leaned back in the chair and crossed one leg over the other. She flicked her foot up and down like the whole situation bored her. At first it was just payback for breaking that guy's knee. Danny swallowed. And then? Once they found out you were with that guy, what was his name? Cash? Cole? Colt? Her mother snapped her fingers. Yeah, that's it. I knew it was weird. Anyway, after they found out you were with him, they wanted you for a whole other reason. This was all about Colt? Danny sucked in a breath to keep from screaming. Gran was fine in the nursing home. If you hadn't brought her here, if you had just stayed the hell away from us, she would still be alive. Pfft! Her mother waved at her like she was an annoying gnat buzzing around her head. Did you see her, Danny? She's been dying for years. The cancer never really went away. Danny froze, her fingers splayed on the arms of the chair, unable to move. That couldn't be true. Didn't she tell you? Her mother shook her head. That's so like Doris to keep secrets. The fact she hung on this long has been a miracle. Think about it, Danny. If she'd been healthy, she'd have gone home. I wouldn't have been stuck with you all these years. Stuck with me? Danny glanced out the window and tried to pull herself together. Her mother had said worse. Done worse. This was nothing new. Gran loved me. And now she's dead. You need to get over it and grow up. Danny leaned back in her chair and crossed her arms. Like you give a shit about me. Her mother said nothing. The silence was damning. After a few minutes, Danny pushed the stabbing pain in her heart down so far it only ached. What do they want? To know where that guy is hiding. And if I refuse to tell them? Her mother smirked. I've heard they can be real persuasive. Danny snorted in disbelief. What's in it for you? A clean record. A new place to live and new clothes. All the food and water I want. And this.
She rolled up her sleeve to show off a clear, square patch.
A nicotine patch?
Fentanyl. Her mother beamed like she'd won first prize in a baking contest. All the fentanyl patches I could ever want.
Danny rocked back in the chair. Drugs? The army offered to dope her mother up just for the chance to get Colt? Why do they want Colt so bad?
Her mother lowered her sleeve.
How the hell should I know?
Colt had walked out of the college campus a free man. Okay, so maybe he'd relieved a soldier of his weapon to do it. But no one chased him down then. They couldn't be so hot to get him because of a simple sleight of hand, could they?
Danny chewed on her nail as she thought about Gran. Doris Weber loved her more than anything else in the whole world. Gran told her not to trust anyone around here. Not her mother, not the soldiers. Only Colt.
Gran had always been right before, so she had to be right now.
Danny needed to warn Colt, but they would never let her leave.
As she thought over what to do, a commotion sounded in the hall. Her mother stood up.
Look alive, sweetheart. It's time to talk.
Chapter 23. Danny. 52 Houghton Street, apartment 310, Eugene, Oregon, 4:30 p.m. With every stair, Danny made a point of stomping. Her sneakers slammed into the steps so hard her feet ached, but she didn't care. The louder, the better. A bruised foot was nothing compared to whatever these guys had in mind for Colt. The soldier ahead of her twisted around and glared, but she ignored him. If Colt was inside, she would give him fair warning they were coming. No way would she be a surprise attack. When they reached the top floor, Danny pointed at the apartment door.
It's that one.
The soldier cast her a sharp glance.
You're not playing us, are you, kid?
No.
She kicked at the ground, pretending not to care.
What's the point? If they thought she was a sullen, insolent teenager, maybe they would give up and let her go. She could play that part. All she had to do was act like her mother.
The soldier unlocked the door with the key Danny had found inside the apartment the day before and entered, gun up and ready. Two other soldiers brushed past Danny and followed the first inside. After a handful of minutes, they gave the all clear, and Danny walked in with the older soldier from before, following behind. The other men kept calling him Colonel. From his pompous attitude, Danny assumed he was in charge. A young soldier spoke up.
He's not here. Thanks for the obvious report, Sergeant.
The Colonel walked around the space, his hands clasped behind him as he took it all in. He addressed Danny.
How long were the two of you here?
Only a day.
You both planned to stay here?
Danny nodded. Colt slept on the couch. She didn't know why she volunteered that last little bit, but she couldn't help it. Colt was a good man. They should know that.
Where could he be, Danielle?
I don't know.
She turned to the windows and looked out on Eugene, still as quiet as ever.
He's probably out gathering supplies. Or maybe he's gotten wind of you and he's already on the run.
We know for a fact that isn't true.
Danny spun around, her anger finally bubbling to the surface.
This is ridiculous. First you lie to me and tell me my grandmother will get the best care with you. Then you pump my mother full of drugs so she'll do whatever you want. Now you want me to tell you where to find Colt? Are you crazy? The man hasn't done anything to you.
On the contrary.
The colonel stepped close enough for Danny to see the lines around his eyes. He had to be in his early 50s.
This morning, he killed four of my men, set their truck on fire, and disappeared.
Danny stumbled back. She'd watched Colt kill the motorcycle guys in the street, but he'd done it to protect her. There had to be a good reason.
No, the soldier shook his head. No reason. He ambushed and killed them. It's that simple. One got away and reported the entire thing. He murdered my men for no reason.
Colt would never do something like that. If he killed those men, they deserved it.
I don't believe you.
The soldier shrugged.
Believe what you want, but you will help me find him.
Colonel Jarvis, sir, I found these clothes in the bathroom hanging up to dry.
The soldier held up some of Colt's things.
They must be his.
Good work, Corporal. Jarvis glanced at Danny.
Is that true?
Danny nodded. Yes, those are his.
Good. Then we'll have to just wait him out. Men, set up a temporary base camp. Move whatever you have to move, do whatever you have to do, but I want this place up and running in the next hour. Understood?
Yes, sir!
All three men shouted in unison and rushed off to do the colonel's bidding. Danny kept her expression even, but on the inside, she was freaking out. They couldn't stay in her apartment. With all the windows, they would spot Colt coming before he made it inside. They would be ready and waiting, and he would never have a chance. She had to do something. Chewing on her lip, Danny thought it over. What could she do? There had to be a way to warn him. Danny glanced around the apartment, eyes flitting over the desk, the couch, the rug, still rolled up and shoved out of the way. Then she saw the empty bag of sunflower seeds. She turned around. Colonel Jarvis?
Yes.
She chose her words carefully. Were you telling the truth about those men? Colt really did kill them for no reason?
Yes, child, that's the truth.
She nodded like she'd come to a decision. Then I'll help you. I know how to get in touch with him. The man inhaled, his chest swelling out in satisfaction.
Tell me.
I just need some masking tape and a clean window. 5 minutes later, Danny stepped back from the window and exhaled. The masking tape X took up all of the pain, and Danny was sure it could be seen from a few blocks away.
That's it. Tape in a window.
She glanced back at the colonel. Had he never watched TV? It's from a show we both like. Colonel Jarvis snorted.
And it will work.
Danny kept her smile to herself. It's our signal. If he sees it in the window, he'll come. It's just a matter of time. The colonel smiled at her.
Good work. I like it when my subordinates think on their feet.
He glanced at the soldiers busy converting the kitchen table to a mobile work area.
After you boys are set up, make sure this girl gets some dinner, will you?
Yes, sir.
Danny glanced back at the window. She hoped Colt would understand. His life depended on it. After a meal of another MRE and a bottle of water, Danny curled up in the papasan chair in the corner of the living room, with her hood pulled up over her head and a blanket draped across her middle. She could keep watch over the soldiers as they worked. At first, they spoke in low, hushed voices, glancing up every few sentences to check on her. She never moved. Half an hour into her routine, they stopped paying her any mind. Their voices grew louder, and Danny listened.
So far, the platoon has cleared sections 1 through 7. How many casualties?
Colonel Jarvis stood beside the kitchen table, staring down at a large map. Danny couldn't see it from across the room, but the way they talked, it had to be Eugene.
34, sir, if you include our own.
Danny swallowed down her shock. 34 people were dead? From what?
Any riots, pockets of organized resistance. Not more than a few houses, sir. Over on Julep Street, a group of homeowners banded together and tried to hide in a cellar. The place had been stocked to the gills with canned goods and paper products. Where are the homeowners now?
The soldier paused.
Dead, sir.
Danny shuddered, and the colonel glanced her way. His voice dipped and she strained to hear the words.
Tell them to proceed with the remaining sectors. Once the neighborhoods have been disarmed,